What a good morning of putting our hands together. Thank you, choir. Thank you, David. Turn with me to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21, and then 36 through 41. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We're looking back generations now. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a wind like the blowing of a violent wind. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then jumping to verse 36. Peter continues preaching. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So often before we do something big, something bold or daring or nerve-wracking, what do? A lot of times we take a deep breath. I know some of you have commented to me through the years about you hear me do this. Standing at the back of the sanctuary, here at the chancel steps, or when I step into the pulpit. Breathe. Focus. In. Out. Obviously, we all breathe. We have to breathe in order to live. We breathe, we cleanse, we load up our lungs and our bloodstream with this amazing gift of oxygen. Then it gets absorbed and used and then discharged as carbon dioxide. From our emergence out of the womb until our dying moment, we breathe. In, out. In, out. So let's do this together, slowly. One, two, three. In, out. What a gift this is. This gift of oxygen. All the time. That we can simply breathe in and out. Biblically, there are a couple layers to this. One layer is simply what we all know. The biological need we have as living beings to breathe. If we don't breathe, we die. It's built into creation. In Genesis 1, we read that all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything was given the breath of life. And in Genesis 2, actually, I forgot, thank you, Rick. In Genesis 2, we read that God created this creature called Adam, man, human being, out of the dust of the ground. The Ha-Adam in Hebrew was created from the Ha-Adama, the human from the humus, people from dirt or dust. And in Genesis 2:7, we read that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Ha-Adam became a human being. And it's been so ever since. We breathe. We breathe the breath of life that God has given us to breathe in and out. But there's another layer to this. A dear friend of ours, Dr. Jim Bruckner, who teaches Old Testament at our seminary in Chicago, and who was actually here with us a number of years ago, he's written a great book called Healthy Human Life, A Biblical Perspective. And in it, he deals with breath and breathing. He writes, all breath and all spirit, all human life and animal life are part of God's active creative work. Everything breathes in relation to the giver of life, whether they recognize this continuing providential action or not. Everything breathes in relation to the giver of life. The breath of life. God breathes out. We breathe in. Which brings life. But it's more than just biological life. It brings spiritual life. In Hebrew, the word for this is ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. Same word, different languages. Breath. Breathing. God's breath of life as part of his creative work. The ruach. The pneuma. It's a spiritual reality, and it's a spiritual promise. Biblically, by way of God's breath of life, God breathing into us, more than just biologically, but spiritually, life comes. And we become alive to him, and we become alive in him, because these words that I've shared with you, ruach in Hebrew and pneuma in Greek, these are the very same words used in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. God's own presence with us as his Spirit. Therefore, in reading Acts 2, about this thing that happened at Pentecost, that they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a violent blowing wind came and filled that place, and then there were flickers of flame that settled over everybody's head. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Pneumatos, is how it reads. The holy breath, the holy wind, the breathing of God's very presence in the shape of the wind, breathing the breath of new life into them. It's just what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. The wind, or the pneuma, blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, born of the pneumatos. And that's enough Greek and Hebrew, but I think you're getting the core of this. Ruach, pneuma, wind, spirit, breath, God. It's all one. My point is that this event at Pentecost was a whole lot more than just wind. It was much more than a meteorological high pressure system moving into the area. It was a Holy Spirit high pressure system that came upon them and completely changed them. One author describes this as a holy hurricane that struck. She writes that this holy hurricane blew through the entire house where they were together, striking sparks that burst into flames above their heads, and they were filled up with it, and every one of them was filled to the gills with God's own breath, and then something clamped down on them, and air came out of them in languages that they didn't know they knew. And before the day was over, the church had grown from 120 people to over 3,000 by the end of the day. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? That type of Holy Spirit, high pressure system coming upon us. God's presence, God's breath, God's hurricane energy coursing around the room. Wind, flames, pneuma, ruach. The very presence of God coming upon them then and breathing into them and not just awing people, but changing them to the core of their beings, which is the point. Changing the core of their beings and changing them into people who would now do things that they never imagined they would. Things that they had never seen anybody but Jesus do. Miracles, healings, bold and eloquent preaching and teaching. Preaching that for some 3,000 people that day led to repentance of sin, reception of new life in Christ, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it kept on going. And it's going on right now. It's going on here. Ruach, pneuma, the wind, the breath of God breathing upon us and into us. So I think it's time to breathe. In and out. Deeply. In and out. And more than breathing, I think it's time to pray. To ask for this very same wind of God to blow here. To blow in new ways. The ruach. The pneuma of God. For this to be at the center of our prayers and our desires, what we're asking for, what we're looking for, what we are open for. The wind of God, the Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit, come. Come. Like the first disciples, here we are. We're all together in one place. Not everybody, of course, and that's always the case. And being summer, numbers are often a little bit down, but we are here. We're all together in one place. And I know, and a lot of you know, that this is a Holy Spirit place. This is a ruach room. This is a pneuma room. This is a place where God is breathing His breath upon us and into us. A Holy Spirit room. Of course, God breathes everywhere. The wind of God, the presence of God, blows throughout creation like this from Psalm 104. The Lord wraps Himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He makes the clouds His chariot and rides in the wings of the wind. He makes the wind His messengers, flames of fire His servants. But we're not always aware of this, are we? We're not always alert to His breathing, to His Holy Spirit whooshing and drawing and refreshing. A lot of times we think it's just us. That it's just our own breathing going on, that it's just our own energy that gets stuff done, that it's just our own creativity and chutzpah that we need to lean on to get stuff done in life. But Pentecost is a great time to remember that there is so much more. Pentecost is a time to remember what God does and what God promises, what God gives. Pentecost is a great time to ask Him to breathe into us, to breathe, and by His very breath to restore whatever has been lost, to release whatever dominates, to awaken whatever has gone to sleep, and to wash away whatever doesn't belong to us. To release what does what dominates, to restore what's lost, to awaken what's asleep, and to wash what doesn't belong to us, to breathe His breath into us. And that's why it was so fitting to have Ryan earlier read from Psalm 51, a prayer of repentance. King David had willfully done so much damage through his affair with Bathsheba, even including having her husband Uriah killed. And now with his life in a chaotic mess, now he comes before the God of all of creation and he prays this. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me, your Ruach, your Pneuma. O God, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Rephrased in the message, that last part reads, God, make a fresh start in me out of the chaos of my life. Don't throw me into the trash or fail to breathe holiness into me. We can take a cue from the book of Acts about where to go with this type of need. Look at Acts 3. Peter is preaching to gawkers, to rubberneckers who have seen him do this miracle. A man who couldn't walk is now walking and leaping and running around. And it was Peter's first healing, doing something he had only seen Jesus do before, and now he had been part of it. And as people were turning to him and to John to praise, he deflected the praise away from him, from them. And he told them about Jesus. And this is what he said in Acts 3:19. Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That word refreshed, in times of refreshing, it literally means breathing space. Getting your breath back. Breathing freely again. Breathing freely after you've been constricted by stale, dead air. Like an asthmatic finally finding her inhaler. God's own breath, God's Holy Spirit, breathes into us. But we need to release what we're holding in our lungs. Biologically, but also spiritually. Like the carbon dioxide of our lives needs to come out in order to receive. Repenting of those things that take away and diminish, like pride, like stubbornness, like willfulness, our sins. We need to exhale these things away. Repenting of them in order to receive, to have room to receive. This is what happened at Pentecost. It wasn't only the whooshing of the Holy Spirit and the crackling of flames and the speaking in tongues, as amazing as that was. That was just the beginning. It was hearing the gospel that brought change. It was the Holy Spirit propelling the news of Jesus into the ears and hearts of people who've been closed off to Him, cutting into hearts, like what we heard in Acts 2:37. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the Pneuma of God. And on that day, 3,000 and some people exhaled. They repented and breathed in. And they were baptized. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And new life in Christ began. And it kept on going. And it keeps going even today. Church, this is what we're part of. Pentecost isn't just way back then. This is going on now. This is the very thing God is doing now. Maybe not with wind and flames and speaking in all different languages, but maybe. But mainly with the truth. The truth that cuts in through walls into the heart. The truth of Jesus Christ and this gift of repentance and forgiveness, this exhaling of our sins and receiving new life. Like receiving fresh air into swampy lungs. Like room to breathe after you've been constricted in a hot, stale place. And you just need to breathe. You need this? We all do. Day by day by day. Like breath in our lungs. So if it's been a long time, or maybe longer than you can remember, since you felt spiritually oxygenated, filled with joy and filled with life. The very things that David prayed for in Psalm 51, the presence of God's Holy Spirit, genuine joy of salvation, and a willing spirit to follow. Then this is the day, isn't it? Any day is the day. But this is the day we're in. So maybe it really needs to be breathe out. And then breathe in. Not the other way around. Breathe out. And then breathe in. This good, wonderful news of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a prayer. We're going to sing it together and then I'll pray. I've asked our musicians to come up and lead us. We're going to sing what we sang earlier, verse 1 of Spirit of the Living God. And as we sing, I pray that you would simply be receptive to God, to God's movement, filling you, moving in ways beyond what you expect or imagine. We'll sing. Lord, cause a freshness to grow in us, like breathing fresh air after we've been living on stale air. Help us to release what doesn't belong to us. Awaken what's fallen asleep in us. Restore what's been lost to us. We lay ourselves in your hands and pray that you would move in amazing and powerful ways in us and through us, and all for your glory. Amen. Please stand as we sing.
What?